So Duke has been categorised into three types. So these are not, they're not kind of absolute categories. They overlap because the lectionists overlap. But they're quite useful, I think, for drawing some stuff out. So basically, there are three types of dukkha which relate to the three lectionists, to dukkha, impermanence, and insubstantiality, or non-fixed self. So first of all, you've got dukkha that relates to dukkha, which is called dukkha. And this is supposed to be basic physical pain, an unpleasant experience generally. So, period pains, tiredness, sickness, accidents, birth, often very painful. There we are in that nice cosseted environment, and then we're flung out. Maybe not so terribly badly these days often, but there's still a shock in coming out, you know, having the umbilical cord cut and having all our needs met in there, and then suddenly we're flung out. Death, not always painful, but often painful, the end of life. And painful emotions. So in the Pali Canon, there isn't really a word that covers emotion, but Parami, who some people will know, she has said that she thinks a painful emotion should be included in this category of dukkha dukkha. So that's pretty straightforward, really, dukkha dukkha. Then there's the dukkha that relates to impermanence. So things we have, and we want to have them, and then they don't persist. For example, an ice cream. There's a lovely description in that book I was referring to, the Maitreya Bande's book, Life with Full Attention. He's talking about eating, and he gives this example of a dinner party, and you have this lovely dish, and you have a bite of this dish, and then the sort of craving sets in, and the kind of anxiety about whether you're going to be able to have seconds, or whether other people, you know, is going to be all finished up. And he describes a scenario where you kind of enjoy your first mouthful, and then the rest of your experience of eating is kind of consumed with worrying about the fact that it's not going to last. And I think, you know, I can really relate to that. So even when you're in the experience, even when it is still lasting, the fact that it's not going to last kind of impinges on it. So then there's other obvious things like sunshine. And I talked about that the other day when I was talking about impermanence. We have this kind of weird tendency to just think that, have this illusion that things are going to endure, things that we like. Relationship, honeymoon period. We really want it to last. And there's all that loveliness and connection. And I don't think I've ever come across anyone talking about a relationship who said that their honeymoon had just lasted forever. I don't know if anybody else knows that, but it just doesn't seem to happen. It does not seem to happen. So then there's how we look. So especially how we look when we're young, and then we want it to stay like that. So there's obviously an awful lot in here that relates to the body. Yeah, so people want their body to stay as it was and go to vast attempts to try to stop that process of impermanence. So you've got plastic surgery, hair loss remedies, diet pills, wrinkle creams, and loads of other examples. And whole kind of vast industries built on this tendency. And basically whole industries fueled by our lack of contentment. And in fact, consumerism is sort of, that's its fuel, is our lack of contentment, I could say, I think. And because that's its fuel, then it has to kind of generate more of that fuel. So then we've got advertising, which was basically designed to make us less contented, to make us feel that we're not enough as we are. So to kind of aggravate that dukkha. Joanna Macy, Ken Jones. Zen teacher Ken Jones has this phrase that consumerism supercharges our sense of lack. Yeah. So, yes, it was Joanna Macy who said that because it's that sense of lack that's fed on by consumerism, if we cultivate contentment, that's not just like a personal act, it's a kind of an act that has social and political radical implications for society and the environment. Another very important bit. So there's things we have that we want to have and they don't persist. And then there's also the fact that our wanting itself doesn't persist. So this is summed up really well in this. There's a Jamaican phrase that I heard someone told me recently, which is, want it, can't get it, don't want it. So, I think that's probably familiar experience. It's so easy to sort of, you know, it's that thing, over there, it's going to make it all right, you know, that relationship's that one that I haven't got, job, appearance, whatever. And then we have it, and then, oh, that wasn't it. It's all the same. And yet it kind of can get you, we go round and round that one, I think, in different ways. Yeah. Let me think of some examples. Well, relationship is a classic one. It's like, you know, if only I was with that person, then it would all be alright, and I'd feel, I'd be complete. And then it's like, oh, it wasn't quite how I thought, and actually I'm not sure anymore. I've changed, my experience of them has changed. Yeah. So the third kind of dukkha arises from anatta, from insubstantiality, emptiness of self. So it's coming from what this teacher, Shaila Catherine, refers to as the exhausting story of I. So I was talking about this last night, this illusion of a separate and fixed I. And I, me, mine, the whole shebang. So there's a quote got from Sandra Achitera about this. So he says, it is precisely our guarding of the self and our habitual grasping after things to reinforce this fixed sense of who we are that is the root cause of all our difficulty and suffering in life. That's quite strong, isn't it? It's putting that right at, as the root cause. Yeah, so it is precisely our guarding of the self and our habitual grasping after things to reinforce this fixed sense of who we are that is the root cause of all our difficulty and suffering in life. So I'm going to come on to the second and third noble truths, which sort of point to craving and aversion as the conditions out of which dukkha arises. But then he's saying, you know, related to that, beneath that, is the illusion of self, that's what's generating that wanting and not wanting. Yes, yeah, so conditionality, we arise out of a matrix of conditions, or a network of interlocking processes. And so, really, our true nature is non-separation from the rest of life. But we have this illusion of separate, I, me, mine. And so there's a tension there. Inbuilt tension in that, which causes us dukkha. And because of conditionality, I talked about this last night, we can't fully control our experience because it's arising from conditions over which we don't have full control. Yeah, we can't control our body and our mind fully. And yet, we identify with our body and our mind as I, me and mine, and we think we should be able to control it. So again, there's this inbuilt tension there between reality and our kind of our view, our deluded view of how it's supposed to be.